Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Do you ever think about eternity? It was years ago when I began to minister, close to 40 years ago, that I did my first homegoing celebration. That's what I choose to call a funeral service, which is commonly called a funeral service. But for a Christian, to me, it's a homegoing celebration, because we know that death has no power to keep us in the grave. And I committed to the Lord that every time I would do a homegoing celebration, I would make it a point to come the next morning after that particular ceremony and come and speak to the church about eternity. Why it is important to us? Why is it important to us to think about these things? Because ironically, we are a people who seldom think about eternity. We seldom think about forever. Do you ever think about your forever in a day? And you'll understand what I mean, because we live such a busy life. All of these men are professional. Joe was a professional. We have many professionals here in this church, and both men and women, young people who are already in their young age, professionals doing things. And life gets busy. We get busy about our daily responsibilities. And so to think about eternity, we almost don't have time to think about that, because we have to think about the present time. But all of a sudden, eternity comes crashing in when you find yourself saying goodbye to a loved one. Or you find yourself at some funeral service looking over a box and looking at the remains of someone you knew who was alive just a few days ago. Someone you spoke to, someone you related to, someone whom you loved. And all of a sudden, for a moment, it hits you. And you realize that there are important things in life to do in the present. But that life here now, as we know it, is not forever. Now, a lot of people don't like to talk about eternity. Maybe you are not going to enjoy my conversation with you this morning, as if I would speak to you about blessing and joy, as we normally do. But we don't like to talk about eternity because it refers to death. It refers to someone dying, someone moving towards the next stage in our existence. And for many, I will say, and we won't be surprised, that in this coming Wednesday, when we do officiate the actual and finishing responsibilities to the sending away of Joe, there might be friends that won't come. And many will not come, possibly, obviously, because of work and the busyness of life. But I guarantee you that there will be someone who will not come because they don't like the aura of it. How many of us like to go to funeral homes? That's not one of my favorite places. How many of us like to attend? It's almost a bother when you say, did you know that someone passed away? Oh my God. And since you have some kind of commitment, now you know you're going to have to dress up and go and sit in the middle of where the ambience in that room is enveloped in a shroud of death. And some people will just avoid it, thinking that possibly if I avoid it, I will never have to face the issue. But the fact of the matter is that eternity and death is a more real thing about our existence than anything else. The page of eternity in every one of our lives is going to be turned, whether we want it, expect it, or not. For some, it'll be in the early years. For others, it will be in the latter years. For many today, it has been for babies, it has been for teenagers, it has been for adults, for the elderly. Regardless of the age, there is no bias when the angel of death comes to collect the souls of a man. And so to even try to estimate when that moment will come, it becomes frustrating. So we choose not to think about eternity. We begin to realize that the clock that will lead us to eternity has been wound by the hand of another. And we have nothing to do with it. I know for a fact that just a few days ago when all of this happened and the Lord would call Joe home, nobody was expecting that. And there are friends that were with him at that moment. I'm sure, beyond sure, that they certainly were not expecting that eternity would come and claim, put this claim on Joe that day. They stood there bewildered, going like, what? And how can it be now? It's Christmas. How inconvenient. It's New Year's. How inconvenient. The children, the grandbabies, the brothers, the mother, the father. We're supposed to celebrate Christmas. We're supposed to celebrate the New Year's. And for eternity to come today and call his name, how inconvenient. You almost say how thoughtless a plan. But eternity will wait for no one. A few days ago, it was for Brother Joe. One day, it will be for us. And for sure, the next day, it will certainly be us. But Joe was ready. The tears that we weep, that certainly the tears that I weep, I weep simply because of the separation and me knowing that I won't be able to go fishing with him again and have lunch with him again and drive around with him and talk again. And I thought for sure we'd have time for him to teach me how to make a leader. I thought for sure that we'd have time for him to teach me how to cast that bait net. I never could get it. But eternity came. But he's with the Lord. And he rejoices in his peace, comfort, rest. In the midst of the glory of the Savior he loved and served. So the question of the hour this morning is, Joe's in heaven. The question remains not for him anymore, for he has finished the race. And now for him awaits him a crown of righteousness, as the scripture says, that the Lord himself will place upon his head and then no other. But that scripture also goes on to say, so it will be for us that love his appearance. And the question of the hour this morning for all of us is, are we ready for eternity? How will we respond when eternity starts to call your name? The Bible says that it is ordained of the Lord that a man will die and then judgment. That's something, that's a rule, that is a cardinal rule of God that no one can change. It's ordained of the Lord that every one of us in the next 100 years, none of us will be here in this existence. All of us will go through the veil, through the threshold of eternity. So what about eternity for us? I don't have to teach you this morning and take time to tell you that there are two places that you will end up at the end of this existence we call life. You will either spend your time in the presence of the Lord to be with him forever, as the scripture says, or you will spend the rest of eternity, which is forever, and that's a long time, in a Christless eternity of nothing more than suffer of pain and endless regret. Now, some of us are maybe of the opinion, well, only God knows that, my friend. It's not up to God to choose heaven or hell. Whoever may have taught you that was completely wrong, because according to scripture, the choice of heaven and hell is up to you. If it were up to the Lord himself, then for sure heaven would be your eternal resting place. For the Bible says in Matthew 18 and 14, in the same way your Father in heaven, he is not willing that any one of his little ones be lost. That means that God doesn't want any one of us to not spend eternity with him. So if it was up to him, There's nothing to worry about. Every single one of us, should eternity call me, you, or any one of us, we have nothing to cry about because we've made it home to glory. But the responsibility God has given is ours. He's left it for us to choose. He left it for us to decide where will we live the next chapter of our existence. There are many who will say, well, I'm too young to think about that. I'm too busy right now. I'm too occupied in my business. I'm doing too good. I'm planning too many things. I haven't bought my house. I'm looking at a car. I'm looking to be married. I'm looking to have a child. I've got too many things to do. I can guarantee you without a doubt that every single person that has passed beyond the veil of eternity had many things they had planned for the next day. We don't know the hour. And what is life? Life is beyond our control when it comes to every breath we take. If I ask you to take a deep breath right now, it wasn't because you've merited that or you worked it out yourself, but it is the grace of God over every single one of us. But what is life? The Bible says in James 4 and 13, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city. Spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why? He said, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. And what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while in the morning and then vanishes. Job 14 and 1, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He says, it springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. Psalms 39 and 5, the psalmist said, you have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. So what is our life? How is it that we would take such a thought to plan for the next 10 years? Well, we don't know what those next 10 years will bring. And we see that happening right before us these past few days. When will it come for us? Maybe if we knew when eternity would come calling our name, we would make sure to stop what we were doing a few minutes before and prepare for eternity. Maybe if we knew when that clock will strike 12, so to say, and you knew that you had to the edge of this platform, I've got that much, and then I'm going to have to step off into eternity. If you knew you had that much, maybe you'd stop right here and prepare so that you could get ready to go off into this new sector in life. But the Bible says that no man knoweth the hour when the Son of Man will come. And the significance of that passage teaches us that only God the Father knows the precise time and every day of our existence upon this earth. Matthew 13 and 32, nobody knows the day, the Bible says. This is a famous biblical quote that Jesus taught and shared with us that emphasizes that every believer must prepare and be vigilant, live faithfully rather than trying to predict the timing of his exit. None of us know. None of us know, not one. I don't know. I don't know that I'll see you again after I finish this sermon. I don't know that I will finish this sermon this morning. We have planned to have lunch with my children today. I don't know that I'll be there for lunch. But what is life? And do we have the power to dictate when it will end? The fact of the matter is when eternity comes to visit and call, for many, there will not be time. There is no rescheduling when eternity comes. There is no time to get things in order when eternity comes. There is no the changing of mind or direction at the time eternity comes. You won't be able to say, wait to the angel of death and say, listen, come back later on. Let me get these things in order. When eternity comes, this is it. Not a single breath after do we have. And so what is the answer this morning? We must embrace salvation. We must embrace Christ. We must not ignore the message that God has been giving us to prepare our hearts today so that when this happens, just as it happened right before us, he has demonstrated, Joe the father, the brother, the son, the husband is teaching us all today. You need to be ready. He didn't know that that was his last fishing trip. He didn't know that he wouldn't finish washing that boat. He didn't know he wouldn't get home to meet with his wife. He did not know, but he had to be ready. Let that be our instruction this morning from him. The Bible says we must pay closer attention, therefore, to what we have heard, the message of Jesus, so that we do not drift away, the scripture says. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation of disobedience received its punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? How will we get away? How can we change our mind once eternity calls? There are people who are lighting candles. There are people who are walking on their knees for miles. There are people who are praying to idols. There are people doing everything, people offering money, trying to bring back the one who has fallen into eternity. Nothing will change your position after that. Nothing. It's not scriptural. I'm not saying this insensitive to other denominations or circles of faith, but if you see what is scriptural, it's scriptural. God's word is true and every man is a liar. There's nothing you can do after you've taken your last breath. Thousands of people today deny the truth concerning Christ and the opportunity of salvation. You know that statistically, we are told that over 55,000 people a week die and go into eternity. 55 to 60,000 people this week will die and step into eternity. How will they respond when they come face to face? There is no turning back when it's done. For the sake of time, I won't read it, but in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, we are spoken of Lazarus and a rich man. The rich man having everything he had in life. So much was he busy and enjoying the luxuries of his life that he had no time to think of it, of eternity. And then you had Lazarus, which was the poor man, who knew that always eternity was creeping at his door. And so he always constantly knew that any time his life could be over. So he prepared in his heart. And the Bible says, Jesus speaking, that there came a time when eternity called them both. And one found himself in the bosom of hell, while the other one found himself in the bosom of Abraham in heaven. And the story depicts such a chilling horror story, telling us that that particular rich man cried out to Abraham. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus just to dip his finger in water that he might come to cool my tongue. And Abraham spoke to him. He said, it's impossible to come from there to here or from here to there, for there's a chasm between us. While you had your time to choose your eternity, Lazarus took his time to prepare for his. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is, I believe, the experience of millions of people in this world who will reject the knowledge of Christ and his message of salvation. What we are experiencing this week is the order and of the business of God. Again, I said the Lord ordained that a man will pass, and then he will face judgment. So Job teaches us something very important this morning. One, to all the family and to us all, that life isn't forever here on earth. No. It's not forever. It's temporary. as soon and any time we can be called home. That life is here only for a moment. We should never confuse this life we live today as something eternal. As I mentioned to you, it's called and it's mentioned and compared to a morning mist, like a lily of the valley that blooms so quickly in the morning. As soon as the sun comes up, it withers and it falls and it dies. The day will come when all of us together will not be able to shoo away, to hold back the angel of death. The athlete who tries to extend his life in the best way he can by all the preparations of exercise will not be able to extend his life one more minute when eternity calls. You see, death has been woven in every fiber of our existence here in this world. The grass dies, the little animals die. Even the great sequoia trees, who we are told live up to 2,500 years, in due time, their trunks will not be able to hold them and they will fall to the ground and wither and die. Doctors in all their knowledge will have to face a time when their modern medicines will not be able to do a thing for them, but they will have to face eternity. Every pastor who has spoken of life will not be able to pray away the angel of death on that day. Life is not eternal as we know it here upon this earth. And he teaches us, as I finish this morning, something very important concerning our present life. And that is that it's a time of preparation. And I think that if he could speak in his silence right now, I think he would stand right here and say, hey, guys, get ready, man. Get ready. Get ready. Because it's coming. He would say to all of us who work with him here and fellowship with him, all the men that know him well and sat down, ate with him, and laughed with him, to us, in the midst of the laughter, he'll say, hey, guys, listen. Lastly, I'll say, get ready. It's a time of preparation for us here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man, and the living should take this to heart. What does the scripture say to us in this? That we should be aware of the lessons that we learn as we say goodbye to our friend. That we should not just look at this moment like, oh, you know, man, Joe, poor Joe. Oh, he's gone. Oh, you know, my mom, she just passed away. Oh, poor, poor. And just, isn't it ironic? Isn't it something for us that for the moment that we're involved in that funeral procession, as soon as the final shovel of dirt is placed over the tomb and people shake their final handshakes, the final hugs are given, we all go home, and in a moment's time, we go back to our normal living, and the whole experience fades into the woodwork. Isn't that true? It's true of us. It's true of us. We're involved in that moment, and our hearts are swollen by all of this, but all of a sudden, we have this recovery element in us, that all of a sudden we protect ourselves, and well, it's over, you'll go home and you go back to business as normal, and eternity and the thought of eternity, the reality of eternity, begins to fade back into the woodwork and put on the shelf, and we seldom look at it again. The Lord would have us this morning to look at it today. An illustration I read, and we will pray. This illustration speaks of a preacher who interviewed a young man who was a student in college. And the preacher says to the young man, what are your plans for your life? And the young man says, well, I guess I'll go ahead and finish my education. And the preacher says, oh, good. That's to be commended. Understandable. But what about after that? So, well, I plan to make good grades and prepare myself for a successful career. Good thinking. Good plan. To be commended. Got a good head on your shoulders. That's good. But what about after that? He said, well, I'll get a job and make my way up the corporate ladder and be successful, and as successful as I can in this life. Ambitious dreams. That's wonderful. You're a go-getter. Good for you. That's commendable. And what about after that? He said, well, I guess I'll retire. I'll travel, maybe do a little writing. A journal. Very good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. But what about after that? He said, well, I hadn't made any plans for after that. I guess at that time I'll die. And the minister said, yeah, yes, you will. Yes, you will. But what about after that? And the young man had no answer. Are you prepared for eternity this morning? Are you ready to give an account for your life? If you love this man that's in the presence of the Lord today, and you have any respect for his life and what he taught with his life, any instruction as a son, as a daughter, as a brother, then I would listen to that counsel as he would tell us all, choose life. Be ready. Life here on earth is not forever. He's proven it to us. Life is a time of preparation, and you can choose your eternal destiny. If it was up to God, again, I say we'd have nothing to worry about. But I beg to differ. That's not what the scripture teaches us. The Bible says, the Lord speaking, he says, I place before you good and evil. I place before you death and life. He says, choose life. The famous and well-quoted passage of scripture that all of us might know verbatim, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It doesn't stop there. Goes on to say that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so what is the criteria? The criteria is, the blessing first is knowing that he gave us his Son. The generosity of God loving us when no one should have because of who we are. But yet God loves us so that he surrendered his only begotten Son. And we bless his name for that. So what is the criteria for us then? He said that whosoever would believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. It goes on to say in that same chapter, and I'll paraphrase, that God did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. It goes on to tell us now that those who deny the Son of God and deny his lordship don't have to worry about being condemned. They're condemned already because they have denied the only begotten Son of God. It doesn't become future tense. It's present tense. If you don't believe in God, then the scripture says of you these things. If you don't trust in Jesus, if you don't believe in Christ, then the scripture says this of someone like this. And I pray it's not you. And so this morning, we thank God for the blessing that we had in having Joe in our midst. Sister Sylvia, we love you. Your children, May the Lord speak healing into their lives. But I will say that if any one of us loved him and we want to see him again, it will be through the vehicle of Christ. Because that's where he is at today, in the presence of the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.